Welcome to the Excel Pod.
Hey everyone, and welcome to a brand new series of road trips, navigating life with Jesus. I am your co-host, Tyler Waugh, and today I'm excited to begin this series on spiritual disciplines and practices with my fellow co-host and brother, Zachary, as we begin this new year and new form of the show. Today's episode is about silence and solitude. What is silence and solitude, and how can it help us in our walk with God? We talk about this and so much more on this week's episode. Zachary, good for you to be here.
Yeah, I'm excited for this project, this new year, new style to the show, and I'm ready for all the series and all the episodes we have planned, and I'm really excited about this series on practicing.
Yeah, so we're starting this series on practice, or the spiritual disciplines is what we normally call them, and you know, I think that this is a really good series for the new year, because a lot of people, you ask them, a lot of Christians, you ask them, hey, what's your New Year's resolution? A lot of people say, I want to pray more. I want to read through the Bible. I want to read scripture more. I want to become a better Christian. I want to be a better, more faithful follower of Jesus. And so I think that this is a good place to start when talking about the spiritual disciplines or the practices. We're going to talk through four of them and then have a guest in our last episode of the series. But this first one is silence and solitude. Now, this may be kind of new language for some, and that's okay. But how would you frame this conversation about silence and about solitude?
Yeah, I think it's important to start with the fact that so many other disciplines are, like you said, probably more well-known or more practiced. This one seems to be kind of a newer discipline. And I think the area of disciplines is expanding every year. You have things on there like confession, which in some traditions, that's a big thing and popular and well-known. But in others, it was almost non-existent. And that seems to be more of a practice now, as it should be. And there's other things like that. But when it comes to silence and solitude, this one is particularly interesting because the Bible is not very explicit on commanding it. In fact, it never commands it, right? So the reason we think it's important is because it was practiced by Jesus himself when he was here. And I think anything that is practiced by Jesus in his life as the Son of God has got to be important in a good rhythm to put into our lives as well. So when it comes to silence and solitude, I think it looks different for every person out there. Silence, I think it's not an objective term to where you need to get in the room, lock all the doors, and if there's any sound, you've ruined the discipline. I think silence can take place for me. My silence, my solitude is the mornings. I run 5 days a week. So I have 30 minutes every morning, or most mornings. That is silence. Now you say, well, I couldn't ever do that because my huffing and puffing is too loud, whatever. But for me, that's my silence. That's my solitude. I don't listen to music. I don't listen to podcasts. I don't even take my phone with me. So that is it for me. Now, for other people, it's going to look quite a bit different. I know, Tyler, you've talked about trying to do it in the car as you're driving a little bit. And I know that's been a challenge for you. So what do you think silence and solitude, when you think about these terms, what do you think of?
Yeah, I admire you so much for just being able to do any sort of exercise without something to like take your mind off the fact that you are like really struggling. Obviously, I am not as physically inclined, let's just say. I mean, the way I think about it, and like we're kind of beginning at the end in terms of like how to practice it. I appreciate you saying that there's not a wrong, quote unquote, wrong way to practice this, because I think with these disciplines, you know that I'm such a big proponent of these, but with them, kind of the question comes of, am I doing it right? Am I doing the silence and solitude right? I don't think that's necessarily the right questions to be asking. Just the way that I come at it, and I know that so much of this, I mean, even with you and I, I'm more extroverted, you're more introverted. So much of this, for me, really just comes down to, okay, we live in just such a noisy, loud world. I don't know how else to put this. There are more cars on the road. There's more airplanes in the sky. There are more Amazon delivery trucks, more now than ever. That's one side of it. The other side is the dings, the alarms on your phones, which we carry in our pockets, like nearly at all times. And so you have that aspect. Then there's another aspect of our phones, which is even when we try to get away from the world, even when, let's say, we come home from work and we're alone, we're sitting on the couch, we have this opportunity to scroll Instagram or Facebook or TikTok, whatever. We have this opportunity to be constantly connected, constantly plugged in. And so there's the external noise, and then there's also the internal noise of our minds, of our digital distraction. And so we kind of live in this culture to where we're never really, we have the opportunity, I should say, to never truly disconnect. Because even when we're alone, we're always with people, so to speak. Because, you know, you may be on Facebook, you may be on Instagram. So that's where I come at it. That's kind of where I've struggled. I went through a time where I lived alone, and I noticed that I always had a podcast going. I always had music going because I didn't like the silence. And so I think that this really speaks to kind of where we're at in our culture, because even in the quiet of our own homes, like the volume of our lives can be turned up to 100, even when we are completely alone. So we have to have times when we are disconnected, not just from people, but also from now our phones, so that we can get away, refuel with God, which is what we'll talk about, not necessarily empty our minds, but fill our minds with the truth of God, the goodness and the beauty of God, so that we can better faithfully follow Jesus. So that's kind of where I like to go with this.
Yeah, so I think now as a culture, we have been so ingrained in this loudness that if we take it away, it seems weird. So for instance, I had two kids, one's just about two, one is three, and for their whole lives, they've slept with a sound machine on in their rooms. So you just have this noise that exists, and they can't really sleep well without that noise. I mean, they can if you're in a car, because you have some of that noise as well, that white noise. But now, even in our bedroom, Taylor and I's bedroom, not having some noise on, a fan, a sound machine, even our room, seems weird. Like, wow, it's so quiet. How am I even going to sleep? And in many ways, even those without kids, it's the same way. I mentioned to you before this episode that some people, they have to have the TV on. They need that noise because they're just so much in the world, not in a bad way, but we're just so much in the world that noise is constant. I watched a video the other day of a tour of an apartment in New York City. And of course, you hear a siren in the background. And one of the comments was, I've never seen one New York City video without a siren in the background. And it's true, like that is a noise pollution place. But you're right as well. You don't have to be in New York City to have noise pollution. You could be in a town of 1,000 people or less and still have that noise because your device or different things going on. And I will say, as much as we want to stress the importance of these practices, silence and solitude, I think it's a rare number, but I think there are some people where to be alone with your own thoughts is not a healthy place to be either. There are some that have recently gone through something or, they have something internal going on that being alone with their thoughts is going to cause them to go places where they shouldn't go mentally or emotionally. Mm-hmm. So we're not saying to do that. But we are saying that it's an important spiritual practice, which you talked about, you mentioned just a minute ago. It's not to go mindless and just forget everything.
Yeah, it's not Eastern meditation.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. We want to instead replace the world's noise with that peace that comes from realizing that God is the creator in all of those things.
And this is like way beyond my pay grade. But our brains are so powerful. Sometimes we get into these, negative thinking ruts, and we need to change the neuroplasticity of our brains. So we need to replace our thoughts of, am I going to have enough money? Does this person like me? Why did this person say this about me? We need to replace those with, the truth of scripture, the truth of the promises of God. And these times, like we're talking about, these times of silence, these times of solitude can be great places for us if you struggle with your thought life, to replace those thoughts with gratitude, with thankfulness, with contentment, and ultimately with the things of God. So speaking of, let's talk a little scripture. Where are kind of some passages that we can go to kind of form a biblical view of this practice?
The Gospel of Mark is a great place to begin. And it's interesting, Mark is the shortest gospel. It doesn't even take the time to mention Jesus's birth or any of the details surrounding it. It mentions John the Baptist, the baptism, and then it goes straight into Jesus beginning his ministry. So you would think some details Mark intentionally does not include in his gospel just for the sake of time. He's the one that uses the word immediately all the time. It's quick. It's a fast-paced gospel. Takes less than an hour to read the whole thing. However, he still felt it necessary to talk about those disciplines of Jesus. And I think starting in Mark chapter 1, as you're going to highlight, we see that discipline of solitude and of silence from the get-go.
Yeah. So if you go to Mark chapter 1, look at verse 29. It says, immediately he left the synagogue and entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Peter's mother-in-law is ill with a fever, and says in verse 31 that he came and took her by the hand, lifted her up, and the fever left her, and she began to serve them. Then, verse 32, that evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or oppressed by demons. And so you have this whole city that is coming, that says, gathered together at the door, he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. And so Jesus has had a very busy evening. Jesus lived a very busy life. He had a lot on his plate. In the passage before this one, Jesus had already healed a man in the synagogue with an unclean spirit. And you mentioned Mark uses that word immediately. He uses that 41 times in his gospel account. And so it's likely that Jesus is going straight from the synagogue to Peter and Andrew's house just on that same day. And so Jesus has had a very busy day, and it's really just getting started. That evening, he heals Peter's mother-in-law who was sick with the fever, and then the crowd starts coming in, like word gets out, like this man is healing, he's driving out demons. And so the whole town now is showing up to see this Jesus. But like I said, Jesus was busy. Jesus spends and devotes his day to coming and doing the work, the ministry that he came to do. Now, let's just stop there. If we could put this in modern terms, at this moment when Jesus has just healed, he's just driven out demons, we would probably, the natural inclination of us, especially today, we would ask Jesus, all right, Jesus, what's next? Like, what? When's the next healing? When's the next teaching? To put it just in sports terms, when a team wins the championship, when the Thunder won the championship, or when the Eagles won the championship last year, what do they ask? Is this the start of a dynasty? Like, are you going to do more? Are you going to win more championships? Are you going to book even more tours? Are you going to book even more speaking engagements? Okay. But here's what Jesus does, verse 35. He says, "And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed." And so the way Jesus refuels, if you will, it is so much different than how we would refuel. When I have a long day, I want to sleep in, you know, like I want to make some breakfast. I don't want to get up while it's still dark. I want to sleep in. Like, that's my version of unwinding. For Jesus, it was probably not getting a whole lot of sleep, waking up while it was still dark, and going and spending time with his Father in the desolate place. The Greek word for those two words is the eremos. And it means quiet place. It means wilderness. And so that's where Jesus went to. So again, instead of like reliving the previous day with his disciples, or quote unquote day to himself, for Jesus, this was his recharge. This was his time to be with his Father. And of course, it says that he prays, but in order for him to do that, it says that Jesus intentionally went to a place that was quiet by himself. And so after a busy day, after meeting the needs of others, after serving them, Jesus goes to a quiet place. And as you mentioned, Mark includes this. This was a theme all throughout his ministry. Luke 5:16, he often withdrew to desolate places and prayed. And so Jesus knew the importance of, even as busy of a person as he was, and the disciples end up finding him, and he goes to the next town, and he does more work there. Even as Jesus knew the importance of the work that he came to do, he also knew the importance of getting away and recharging with his Father.
Yeah, that's such a great example for us. And I think what you said near the end was something that we need to highlight and stress even more, is that Jesus had to go to this place in order to get aligned with the Father, in order to have that place where he could pray. He needed to get away, because if he had stayed in town, he wasn't, not that Jesus didn't want to pray or that he didn't pray in front of many people. You think of when he feeds the 9,000, 5,000, and 4,000, like he prays and he thanks God for the food. But Jesus needed to get away in order to have this one-on-one time with God. Now, for us, that doesn't mean that we have to go, as Jesus often did, to a mountain that was nearby to get that far away to pray. Jesus had to.
If only.
Yeah, that would be nice. It would be powerful. But Jesus had to do that because he had to escape the crowds wherever he went. They found him no matter where he went in that region. So he had to do that in order to get away. And you think about in our lives, okay, where can we get away? Where is that spot that we can get to in order to have that one-on-one time with God? And I guarantee you, where that spot is, the phone is not there, right? the phone's got to be in a spot not where you are in order to have this time with the Father. And I think solitary places, solitude and silence, yes, just sitting there and meditating and dwelling on the goodness of God is great. But solitude and silence, I think, are kind of a precursor to other disciplines that could be practiced.
Yes.
So I think that's a good place to start, and maybe just spend a few moments in that silence, getting your mind and your heart prepared to either talk to God or to read His word or to do something else in regard to spiritual practices.
Yeah. 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 No. That's huge. And I think that's why we're starting with this one, because I think I've told you this, you know, sometimes if I'm busy or if I've just gotten done with some work or, you know, time on a device, you know, sometimes I try to go into prayer and I'm like, not really sure what to pray for. Well, that's because my mind is in 100 different directions. So I need that time to just, I think we need to be reminded that we are whole human beings. We can't just flip a switch and say, oh, I was thinking about that, now I'm just going to pray. Okay? We need to physically, like, get to a place, not just in our minds, but with our bodies, to just say, okay, you know, what am I thinking about? What's on my heart? And that requires quiet. That requires time away from your phone. That requires probably, being by yourself at least for a little bit and just saying, okay, what's on my mind? What's on my heart? What have I been angry about? What have I been thankful for? And that is when we can say, okay, I've got all this. I'm going to bring it before God. And it's not about like having these well thought out structured prayers, but it is about just noticing where I'm at and saying, what's going on? Let me take a little inventory. Okay, got it. Now I can bring this before God.
Yeah, I think that's a good thing that you brought up. And we've seen this, or at least I've seen this modeled sometimes before men get up and lead public prayers during worship, where they'll just pause. Yes. It for 5 or 10 seconds. Now, for some people, that's very uncomfortable. They're like, what is he doing? But I've done it before where say, let's pray. And you just sit there in silence for 5 seconds, which seems like a minute or two. And it seems like forever, but it's just to clear your mind of any distractions that might get in the way and pray. Because I guarantee most of us, I know I have prayed while also having your mind on things that aren't what you're saying. Your mind is too busy to be intentional enough to pray. So again, like we said, this is why we want to start with this practice of silence and solitude, because it prepares us to be more disciplined and to have our hearts fully in tune with God through His word or in talking to Him. Now, we mentioned a couple passages, Luke 5 and Mark 1. But this theme really continues throughout Scripture. We see it in the Psalms. We see it in John's Gospel. And we even see it back in the beginning and in Genesis as well. But one thing we talked about earlier that I wanted to bring up, a verse, we said that your thoughts, we're trying to clear those in a way to make sure that we're ready to either receive God's word or to talk to God. But I love this verse in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10, where it says, it's in 2 Corinthians, I apologize, I wrote down the wrong verse, where it says, we take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. And that's really what silence and solitude is. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to take all of those thoughts captive and make them obedient to Christ so that we're better prepared to engage in other disciplines that draw us closer to God.
Yeah. I love that passage. And of course, anything with the mind, anything with the mind is concerned, I think you always got to go to Philippians 4 6 through 7 and 8, which is, of course, the Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Then finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Or your version may say, meditate on these things.
Yeah, absolutely. That's right. So this practice, it accomplishes a lot of different purposes. One, it's just to take you away from the world. It gets you apart from everything that's going on in your lives and around you. So it just sets you aside. But again, most importantly, it prepares you. It prepares your mind for other things that are godly things. So the question is, you know, what does this look like in your life? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, you mentioned like what it does, and I think first of all, like, I want to expand just a little bit more on that, and then talk about like what does this look like, and finish up with like how do we practice this? For me, number one, it helps me. You may recognize this phrase: ruthlessly eliminate hurry from my life. You know, I mean, that was my Christmas gift to everyone, was that book. You know,
so original.
Yeah. That is a thought from me. I've sold millions of copies. No, obviously that's one of the most popular Christian books in this, definitely this decade, but if not this century. I would recommend it to anyone, whether you think you struggle with hurry or not.
And why do you think it's so popular?
Because we need it.
Exactly.
Because, right. I mean, literally, we're not sponsored. It's when I read the first chapter of that book, I was like, oh, wow. I mean, putting into words the experience of so many people, and then you keep reading and you're like, did you interview me before that? Like, seriously, so good. And so when we like stop, like physically stop and say, I'm gonna be quiet, I'm gonna be alone, that breaks the cycle of this hurriedness that we experience in our culture and, you know, in ourselves as well. You may not be a very, say, busy person. I don't consider myself a very busy person. Like, I don't have just a ton of things on my calendar and on my just daily to-dos, but I can still be hurried. And that is just so, that's so frightening. And so when we practice this, I think it helps us just a little bit break that cycle of hurry. And I'm not just talking about speed, like walking too fast or, you know, rushing through interactions. I'm talking about really everything else that comes with that, this kind of maybe low-grade tension or anxiety, irritability. There's so many things, if you do some research on like what comes with hurry. And here's kind of what I think about too when it comes to hurry. You and I know people. I think of a couple people who we grew up with at Tipton who are just so, they're older, they're so joyful, they're so gentle, they're so happy. And it's like you never see them in a hurry. Like they are not rushing around. And I know we're going to talk. That's why I'm excited to have you on, because we're going to talk about seasons kind of in life. But it helps us eliminate that. And that's the kind of people that we want to be, because that's who Jesus was. And that's who our role model is. And then two, for me, it's kind of helped me confront some realities in our lives and helps us meditate on scripture and helps me in my prayer life as well. Just quickly on, but not hurried, on some realities you know, when we go into this time, maybe we have been busy and we haven't really noticed like what's been on my mind. I've noticed that when I put up my phone and when I'm alone, when I'm quiet, I notice, hey, that thing that that person said, that's kind of been bothering me. I've kind of been thinking about that a little too much. I want to bring that before God. I want to talk to him about that. And so I think that that can help us in our prayer as well.
Yeah. Can I, going back to your first point you made about ruthlessly eliminating that hurry, we're not saying that that makes you unproductive either. Just because you practice that doesn't mean you're not going to be productive. There's studies that show working 40 hours a week versus 60 hours a week and the employees get the same amount of work done. It's just more intentional with the time that you're on, if you will, and more intentional about the time that you're off. But it certainly doesn't mean, and we're not implying that it means, okay, you're going to be lazy, you're going to be a bum if you don't do this.
Yeah, the pushback, I guess, could be like, well, what about, you know, the work that we're called to do as Christians? Yeah, that doesn't change. And I think we mentioned this earlier. If we take Jesus' example, we're kind of using it to fuel that mission of that. You have any other thoughts on you know, what does this do? What is the purpose before we kind of get into like how we actually practice this?
I think going back to where we started with, I think the purpose can be a little bit different for each person. For some, it is the busyness that is their own lives. But like for me with two kids, like our house is literally, it's physically just loud all the time. They're screaming. My daughter's favorite way to wake up now and let us know she's awake. We're used to, she would cry a little bit or we would just hear her moving around. Now it's just a full blown scream. That's what she does. When she's awake, she screams.
But when I do that, it's a problem.
Exactly. You're a little too old for that, right? So for each person, I think, you know, what's the purpose? Well, it could be a little bit different. It's stress for some, and it's just anxiety, and you just need that time, that silence. And for others, perhaps it is just a literal, okay, we just need a quiet place, like volume down so that we can focus. That's the only thing I would add before we talk about how to put it into practice.
Yeah, and I appreciate you bringing that up because that's kind of me as kind of like an extroverted kind of, you know, gets kind of uptight and like anxious a little more probably is like I know that if I just try really hard on my own not to be kind of anxious, that's just not going to work. Like I have to set aside that time. Like I know that my soul needs that. And so, yeah, I think a lot of this is, you know, personality and kind of our stage in life. But yeah, how do I practice this? We mentioned this earlier, but I think the first thing we need to not do is grade it to say, okay, was that good? Was that bad? Did I do it long enough? I don't think that's the way to go. I think obviously number one is, of course, make the time. So whether, you know, it's if you only have time during your commute to work, you mentioned, you know, driving without noise. Obviously, I love, you know, music. I love podcasts. But maybe a couple times a week while you're driving to work or wherever that is, maybe turning that off and just spending that in prayer, or maybe just reflecting on a scripture that was read in church or that you read during your own time. Maybe it's taking, I do this, a morning walk, or maybe in the evening. Maybe it's waking up a little earlier and just saying, even if it's just 10, 15 minutes of just saying, if I could just spend just a little bit of time in quiet with God, I think that even that short amount of time can help me draw closer to him and really just have this abiding relationship in him throughout the day. I put this, you know, I think in some ways we can make it enjoyable or at least make it delightful. If you are blessed to live next to water or next to, you know, mountains or wherever that is, man, like, please, for those of us who don't live next to that, please go use those opportunities. Because I found that obviously, you know, God has revealed a lot about himself through creation. We're told that in Romans 1 and Psalm 19. But if you can do it during then, while you drink your morning coffee, on a walk, something that you can look at and say, wow, you know, I'm thankful for this coffee. I'm thankful for my neighborhood that I get to walk in. Just something that makes us think about God a little bit. That's something that's maybe delightful and enjoyable. And then lastly, and I think we could apply this to all these disciplines, is be grateful to spend the time with God. I think so often, you know, When we talk about the disciplines, we talk about like the importance of it. We talk about, you know, you need it for your relationship with God. And that is very true. But also like realize the fact that you're spending time with your Heavenly Father. Like you are the same way. I mean, when Dad asked us to do something with him, that felt special. You know, like when Dad said, you know, Tyler, hey, you want to come with me to, you know, check on the cattle or whatever? Of course I wanted to. Like Dad asked me. And in the same way, our Father, our Heavenly Father, is waiting for us to spend time with him. And he wants to spend that time with us. And so why not take advantage of those opportunities? Reminds me of Mr. White, our ag teacher's favorite quote, you don't have to, you get to. And I think that applies a lot with spending time with God. Like, no, I guess you don't have to. God's not going to force you to, but you get to. You get this privilege.
It's the first time I've actually heard that quote appropriately applied. Like, that makes sense when we're talking about God.
I find myself quoting Tipton teachers and coaches more often than I thought I would have. I don't know if that's a good thing or not, but yeah, those are just kind of my thoughts on that.
I think ultimately, when it comes to starting a habit like this, what you say about making it comfortable, making it enjoyable is important. And we know this about habit forming. If you're trying to form a habit and it's something you set up an environment that is easily to fail in, then you're not going to do it. So I read a book, Atomic Habits, and in that book, it talks about, well, if you're wanting to get up in the morning and work out, some things that can help you do that is to lay all your clothes out, have your shoes ready outside the room. So you get up, you just put it on, have everything ready to go. Because if you're waking up and having to find all the stuff you need, that habit's not going to stick. And the same is true with things like this. You have to have a healthy place to go or a healthy routine. And it's something that is not dreadful each day because it will never stick. And ultimately, how do you practice it? Well, you just got to get going. You got to take that step and, you know, just go and dive into it. We're not saying there's a right way to practice this, but there is certainly the wrong way. And the wrong way is to not try it at all. So whatever that looks like in your life, try to put that into practice. Try to have that time. And we, you know, this whole episode, we never even talked about how long this time needs to be. Because we don't think, or at least speaking for myself here, I don't think there is a specified time.
No.
I think you know when it's too short of a time. I think we could feel that if we're giving 1 minute to this, okay, well, we're just trying to rush through it. But if we're giving 2 hours, then maybe our mind starts to wander too far. So there's probably a healthy line there where it's too short or too long, but each person is going to be different. So just try it. just give it a shot. And I think you'll see your prayer life and your scripture reading habits improve quite a bit and be able to grow deeper than you ever thought possible.
I am curious. I know we're about to close, but what would you say to someone in your position, young kids, maybe listening to this and thinking like, man, this sounds great. Like, I'd love to practice this, but this is my situation right now. I don't think that I really have the time for this. What would you kind of say to that?
I think everyone has the time for it. It's just going to be different than other people not in those situations. So for me, the afternoon and evenings are not an option because that's with the kids and I want to be intentional about being with them. And then once we start trying to get them to bed after that, I'm exhausted and I won't be in the right place to mentally go through that. So for me to put this into practice, it means waking up before the kids wake up so I can go on that run or I can set aside that time to just be by myself and be in that solitude. And perhaps that's the case for other people in my situation with young kids that have more difficulty going to sleep or sleeping through the night. You gotta be intentional about that. But even if I didn't get up to spend that time alone on my runs or something, if I lived further away from my job place, that time in the car would be perfect. But now I live 2 minutes away from my work, so it's a little too short for that. But other people in my situation that have a little longer commutes, I think that could be a great time to practice this.
Yeah, that is really good. Anything else you would add to what we've been talking about? I felt like we covered pretty much everything. I'm sure there's something we're missing, but anything else you would add?
I can't think of anything, but perhaps the people listening can. And if you do, drop a comment or send us an email or something. We'll try to figure out contact information, perhaps, where you could send in feedback. But like I said, this is one that we're not very familiar with, at least in our background. I mean, I can't say I've ever heard a sermon, maybe one sermon that I've sat in about silence and solitude. So I do think it is important because Jesus modeled it. So if you have any other thoughts, yeah, let us know. Give us some feedback.
Yeah, absolutely. All complaints, Zachary's email is Zachary. No, I'm just kidding. Well, thank you, Zachary, for being here. I think this went well, and we'll see you next time.
Sounds good. We'll see you then.